Thank you, choir. Very good. Enjoyed that. Very good. I need to clarify something this morning, and I forgot to think about it. Maybe I did have some wisdom teeth pulled. And that's why I wasn't thinking when I said what I said. And I said that Brenda told me not to take any pain pill for my teeth because she knows what pain pills does to me. They knock me out, and I wouldn't wake up till the next day or so. She told me to take Tylenol or ibuprofen so that if I could get by with that, then I won't have to worry about the pain pills. So, but she did take care of me through all of that, and here I said that she told me not to take any. But she knows me and what pain pills and stuff like that. They just knock me out. And I don't like to be knocked out. Do you? I like to be conscious, be able to think. So, just to clarify that. Well, this morning, take your Bibles and look with me in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And we're going to be looking at God's plan for a healthy church. You know, God likes healthy churches. And I want to ask you just like two simple questions this morning. Why does a church exist? And what is the purpose of the church? Now, everybody here may have their own definition of the existence, why the church exists, and the purpose of the church. But as I read the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, where Jesus is talking about his kingdom and what his desires for the disciples to learn, to reach out, to witness, to baptize, then I have drawn to conclusion that the most important part of the church and the existence of the church and purpose of the church is to win the lost to the Lord. And that's how we grow. That's how we grow a church. And then the second is to equip or mature or nurture the body of Christ. And when we do that, then new Christians and Christians that have been saved for a long time know what to do when it comes to sharing their faith, reaching out and sharing with one another. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us at Pentecost, the church began right there. And 3,000 souls or people were won to the Lord. And then as you read on over in chapter 4 of Acts, it says that they were adding to the church daily and that 5,000 men were saved, and that's not including the children and the women at that time. So, how did they grow? How did they nurture? Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says that they were adding to the church daily, and they were listening and taking heed to the apostles' teaching. So that's how they grow. And that's how, and they did a good job of it. Think about it. In just a few days, and daily, they were adding to the church. You know, we need to go back to the basics and understand what it means to mature as Christians. We get so, I guess, complacent or comfortable in our life that we forget that God has placed us here to live and grow and nurture one another in love, in the church, and everything that we do in His name. Kind of reminds me of one of the most joyful things in a couple's life is when a little one is born, right? When a baby is born. You look at that baby and you go, ooh, and ah, and all of that stuff, you know, don't we? That's something that's natural. And then the reality comes is when we take that child home, and then we got to change the diapers, we got to feed them, and then we got to figure out why are they crying all the time. Because there's something that babies can't tell you verbally that's going on with them. So that becomes the responsibility of the parents to figure it out and nurture that child from a baby until they are on their own. And that is true with the church. As we see new people coming into the church, as we see people who are being saved coming into church, what is the church supposed to do? Where do we start? Where do we go? Who teaches them? Who nurtures them? Well, the Bible is very clear about that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Not Acts chapter 4. I've done been there. Ephesians chapter 4. And look with me in verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith. So we're supposed to do that for a while, right? Till we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. And when you see mature man, that means a mature Christian. Man signifies generations or mankind. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, we see that the early church evidently did a good job of maturing and building up the church. And we read in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. And you see, the second part of our purpose is to mature, to build up Christians, to help them and to be all they can be in this life. Now, I want you to look at this passage we just read, and I hope that you notice some key words or phrases. One of them was service. Service. How do we serve? We can do that in many different ways. We can serve in the church. We can serve in the community. We can serve in the family. We can serve at work. It's by doing some good deed for someone else. It's using the gifts and talents that God has given you. And He's given every one of us a gift and a talent. And a lot of those are going to be used this evening, aren't they? The talents of many as we come together to fellowship. And it'll be fellowshipping, we've been inviting. But it's a service to one another. It's to help one another to grow together. And as we grow together, we can see the importance of why we serve God in the church, in the community, is to lift up the body of Christ. That's why Jesus told the disciples, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He's going to be teaching you everything that we've talked about, everything that we've seen, everything that you've done, the healing and going into from town to town to city to meet the needs of those that have special needs. So in a way, we are serving. We're giving of ourselves, just like Jesus did. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So it must be a vital important for us if Jesus said, I didn't come to serve, but to be served, but to serve. So that's where we get the joy, the fullness. We know that we are growing as a Christian if we love to serve, right? A lot of people like to be served, don't they? They sit in their easy chair or just sit and say, you know, just bring it on. But we are to have the attitude that Christ did here in the scripture. And Paul says, you know, equipping and serving in unity and spirit and growth and maturing and nurturing. Another thing that I see, it says unity, the unity of faith, the unity of love. That means that everyone has everything in common, common interests, same motivation, same thought pattern. Minds clear, hearts pure. And when we come together as a body of Christ, then we're thinking a lot. We're all thinking, what are we going to do in the Lord's name? How are we going to let God work through our lives today? And see, that's unity of faith. It's not thinking of oneself, this is what I do, this is what I've done. It's no. What can we do as a church to glorify the Father? And see, when we do it in His name, that He receives all the honor and glory, then that's what the Bible says, then we're on in the unity of the Spirit. We're doing it in love. Love for Christ, because Christ died for our sins. And then mature. What does it mean? Well, babes, how do they mature? Babies, you feed them. You start them out on milk, and as they begin to grow for a few months, and then you start feeding them solid food. So the more we do for the Lord, the more we grow. The more we understand the existence of the church and the purpose of the church as we grow, as we mature. Now, how do we do that? Well, one way we can do it through the Word of God, as we study and as we read together, as we come together in corporate worship. And see, if we neglect that part of our lives, eventually we grow laxed in our relationship with the Lord. If we decide, well, I don't need to come to church today, I'll just stay home and watch it on TV. Well, most times you watch it on TV, that's all you're going to get. Because you're not giving of yourself, you're not taking part, you're just relaxing and hearing. And then you say, boy, that was good. That was good. But in coming to church and giving yourself to the church and to the Lord and in service and unity and love and faithfulness, then you're actually giving of yourself. You're getting involved. You're taking the word action, or the word which is a verb, and putting it into practice. And that's what we need to do each day of our lives. Think about, Lord, how can I serve you today? Yeah, I know we might think, well, that's kind of elementary. But think about it. When you get up in the morning, you know you're going to work. You know that you're going somewhere on a daily basis to work or to do something. But how can I serve you, Lord, if my mind, in my conduct, in my action, in my thoughts, in word and deed, how can I make a difference in someone's life? How can I make an impact upon this world? You know, we see all the trouble that's going on in the world today. And Egypt, I mean, you know, our hearts go out for the people there who are wanting to have a life. And if you can look through all of this and see that, you know, the forms of worship and so forth that they have. And many of them do desire a life in the Lord. But many of them are being rejected and held back because of their faith. And the only one true faith we know is in the Lord. And how can we reach out and how can we make a difference? Well, one way, if our government, if the United States themselves understood the importance of our true allegiance to the Father, and then we would have a greater impact as a nation to other nations who are struggling with their spiritual and religious beliefs. Amen? Do you know that if you go overseas now and you want to spend your American money overseas, a lot of countries say, no, no, it's not worth anything. You spend our money here. You convert it over and so forth. But you see the impact that our nation is having on others, not having respect and the nobility that we once had. It's slowly and slowly and slowly moving away. But we can make a difference. You see, if we as Christians are willing to stand up and say, you know, enough is enough, we want our nation back. We want our nation honoring and worshiping the true and living God. And if we will have that mindset, if we understand that we are to mature in our faith, and if we're willing to take a stand, and if we're willing to understand that God has placed us a purpose, and He has blessed America to the point that we have been missionaries to other nations, that we can still have that impact that we once did if we can speak up and make a difference in our own community. You know, we often say, well, you know, we're just a small community, or I'm just one person. But you know what? There's a lot of minorities out here that's making a lot of racket, aren't they? A lot of noise, because they believe in something. They believe in a principle. They believe whatever made-up principle that they come up with, they believe in it, and that's why a lot of trouble is going on within our world today, because of principles they believe in and stand on. So if we, being Christians and a part of the family of God, and we know what is true and we know what works, if we would just take a stand and say, enough is enough. We want America to be a God-fearing nation. Now, if you go back and look in the Old Testament, how God used men like Joseph and his 12 brothers who hated him, because he said, one of these days, I'm going to be your leader. You're going to bow down to me. And they hated him for that. And sometimes we don't foresee what God's plan is at the moment. But in the future, in the distance, as we see God unfolded His plan and His purpose, we saw in the end, when people got their hearts right with Him, He blessed them and brought everything back into a perfect setting. He brought Abraham's family back together, Jacob's family back together, Isaac, and all of those. Because He had a plan in their life, and they pursued it and followed it, and they were faithful, and that's why they were successful. And for the church, if we as a church will follow God's plan and sometimes going through the hard times and the valleys in our lives and our Christianity and trying to grow, if we will stick with God's plan and not our own plan, and then in the end, we're going to be successful, and we're going to mature, and we're going to grow in the likeness of Christ because we stayed with His plan and not our own. With all the things our government come up with and our officials and leaders, you see, it's their own plan. And most of the time, it's not for the people. It's for the government. It's for the government leaders. They got to know, we got to know, that the only way that we're going to be successful in this life is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, win lost souls and people to Christ, and then equip and grow and nurture them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's three ways that we can grow as Christians. Three ways. And these are evidence for Christian growth. If you know you're growing, if your real commitment is to God and Him only. Now, see, we mature when we can worship the Lord because we're building our faith on Jesus Christ. See, He is the one we worship. See, secondly, we know we're growing if we regularly attend at worship. See, now I know, we know, or I said earlier, this might be elementary, but I think the attitude of many towards worship is far too careless. For such people, attending worship services is something that they do if it's convenient, or if the weather is cooperative, or if there isn't anything else, you know, that conflicts with what you want to do or are doing, and then they will be in God's house. But it's not a priority. So it's only something they do if there isn't something inconveniencing them. You know, remember in years past, the old days, we used to talk about Saturday night baths. How many still take Saturday night baths? Yeah. I do, and then I take one on Sunday morning to get woke up, you know. But do you remember that? Do you know why everybody took a bath on Saturday night? Because the next day they were going to Sunday church. They was going to worship. I can remember that. Okay, Mike, Brent, Linda, it's time to get your baths. Go to bed, get up fresh and early, ready to go to church. I remember that in my day. See, we fail to grasp the importance of this place and the one who meets us here and what's going to happen when we come into His name and when we come into this place. See, this is God's sanctuary, and when you gather here with others, you're sitting in the company of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just recently, someone brought a little girl into my office. Is Beth here? Yeah, you remember that? She wanted to come. Yeah, she asked to see the preacher. She's four. And she has been in here before, hasn't she? Yeah. She came to preschool. And every time I bring the preschool in here and they're sitting here, I ask them, what is this room? Well, they'll say, it's the church. I said, well, that's true. It's a church building. But what do we do in this building or in this place and where we're sitting? Some of them will say, preacher preaches or we're singing. I said, yes, it's a sanctuary. It's a place that we worship the Lord. So even little ones understand that the importance of the church and the sanctuary is to preach, to teach, to sing, to nurture, because this is where God meets us. This is where He meets us. This is where He wants us, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, to come together, to grow, to nurture, to serve, to make a difference in our lives and in other people's lives. So as growing Christian, it means that I'm going to be here because I have an appointment with the Lord. Say, I'm going to be here because this is a top priority in my life. And then the third thing, you know you're growing as a Christian if you're regular studying God's Word and you will have a meaningful prayer life. See, it's one thing to study with other people in Sunday school and Bible study. It's another thing to have your own personal, everyday devotion with the Lord. It's critical for our growth. And then finally, you will have an effective Christian witness, growing faith. See, God needs lots of mature Christians. He needs a lot of mature ministers, spiritual leaders who aren't ashamed of their faith and who are willing to share their faith at work, at play, at school, at church, and wherever you go. There's a story about a king who loved his son. And he wasn't able to have a son for a long time. But eventually, the Lord blessed him with a son. And that son was perfect in all ways. But one day, this little six-year-old boy, as he grew and matured and began to do things, the king allowed him to get on a horse to ride and to enjoy riding a horse. And for some reason, this young boy, 6-year-old boy, he fell off and was injured. And they said that he was going to be paralyzed for life. Well, the whole kingdom, the king and the queen and everyone were just disheartened and dismayed that this perfect young boy would never walk again. Then the king decided, you know, I'm going to erect a statue. And he said, I want it made where the person looks just like this, my son, is standing straight up, strong. And every day, he would take this young boy, out and set him in front of that statue to look at this statue, what was standing straight and strong and courageous. And day after day, he took this boy out and to look at that statue to say, just look at that. This is who you are. You're not the boy here in the statue, but you are like this statue. You're strong. You're courageous. And day after day after day, he took that young boy out there and looked at that statue. And you know what? It wasn't long that boy decided that he was going to try to stand. And he eventually stood up. And he stood straight and strong like that statue. Now we might think, well, you know, what does that have to do with the body of Christ? What does that have to do with Christ? We see, God can do miraculous things in a mind if we're willing to take the challenge. If we're willing to say, Lord, you know, I'm weak, I'm frail, I can't do anything on my own, I might be handicapped, or this or that. But you see, God can still use you just the way you are. You see, we might think that we're incapable, inadequate, that we're not capable of doing anything for the Lord. But you know what? He knows better, because he's the one that made you. He's the one that gave you the good mind you have, the body you have. Everything that you have, everything that exists within your life, you see, he has placed it there for a purpose. And for any reason that we think that we're not worthy or capable or adequate of doing anything, then we're lessening what God has entrusted in our lives. And as a church, if we become complacent where we are and think that, you know, we're okay, everything's hunky-dory, you know, that's when we stop growing. And especially individually, if we stop reading God's Word, if we start praying, if we stop serving, if we stop doing anything that we know that God has gifted us to do individually, as a church body, then we're not maturing. We're not doing what God has called us to do. So, God wants a healthy church. You see, you know, God placed before us his only Son. He says, look at him. Become like him. And the more you look at him, the more you will read his word, and the more that you will grow to be just like him. Just like the illustration of the little boy. The more he looked at that statue, the more he became like that statue. The more that you and I as Christians look at the Savior, God's only begotten Son, the more we will look like him, the more we will act like him, and the more we will be just like him. This morning, I want to challenge you. Challenge you to think about what the scripture says here this morning. And maybe you have a decision that you need to make. Maybe there is something that you will allow God to do in your life to help you, to bring you back, to get you back on course, to make sure that you are growing in your faith. And if you're here and you're not in Christ this morning, you know, Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for the world. And if John 3:16 is the only verse you know in the Bible, if that's the only verse you know, God bless you. And that verse right there alone will lead you to salvation. But if you're a Christian and that's the only verse you know, guess what? You're not growing as a Christian. It might have led you to Christ, and you may know it since you was a child, but if that's the only verse you know, you're not growing as a Christian. I want to offer you a challenge this morning. And you can come see me, and I'd be glad to give you all kinds of scriptures to memorize and study. But if you'll memorize a scripture, a verse every day, or one a week, just start there. One a week. When I was in seminary, I had to learn 25 a night. And then go to class and then write them out on a piece of paper and turn them in. Hope I got them all right. But if you will take a verse, a scripture, and memorize it each week, take one. In a year's time, look how many you've memorized, how many you've learned. And you know, doing that will be instrumental to you in helping others, to counsel others, to help us understand, you know, and learning God's word, it enhances you, it lifts you up, it gives you joy inside, knowing, you know, I am doing something for the Lord. I'm equipping myself. I am nurturing myself. And one of these days, or any time, day or night, or when you see somebody, that scripture might come out, and it might be the very scripture that somebody needs to hear to brighten their day or to lead them to Christ. It's important, you know, that we minister together, that we serve together, because we are the body of Christ. And if we're not doing our part, then we're letting God down. And he's entrusted to us. Just like Paul said to Timothy, guard what Christ has entrusted to you. Guard it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. If you were trusted and nurture it, there's no limit what God's going to do through you in your life. May we pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power that is manifest in our lives when we trust you, when we listen to you, but more when we apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you that your word is alive and it speaks to our hearts. And in your word, it runs after us, and it takes hold of our lives. It inspires us and it motivates us to want to know more, to serve you more, to teach, to share. Lord, I thank you that with all of our listeners here today, with all the ones that are here in our service today, that your message, your word, has spoken to each one of us. It has flipped on that light. It has lit that fire. It has motivated us to do more, to do even much more than we think that we're capable of doing. Because, Lord, your word, your prophecy is fulfilling itself each day. As we look around, as we see the news, and as we read the paper, we can see things that a lot of people that don't know you, that can't see, it's not revealed to them, the urgency of doing something while we have time. The clock is ticking away. And Lord, what are we doing for you today? Not tomorrow, but today. Lord, may our hearts be touched. And as in Acts chapter 2, that it was pierced, because when Peter preached that message there at Pentecost, their hearts were touched. They were pierced because they knew he was preaching the truth. And Lord, your word is the truth. And we need to hear the truth. And we need to act upon the truth today. And may we be willing to take a stand and say, you know, I've stood around long enough. Today, I'm going to make a difference in this world. Make a difference in someone else's life. Let them know that I am serious about my Christianity. I'm serious about my commitment to the Lord. I'm just not going to play any games any longer. I'm not going to just act like I'm a Christian. I'm going to show that I'm a Christian. And I'm really going to make a difference. Lord, I pray that's a heartfelt desire of each one here today. And we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.